This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abom, welcome everyone to the final shiur on Sefer Vayikra and the penultimate shiur before the Yom Tif of Shuas Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. By the way, just a little update. Next week, Wednesday night, the shiur might start 9:30. Does that work? Please come. 1 week, you'll do it a little later. We'll get you home quick. Since this is the last shiurim on Sefer Vayikra, so we want to thank the Zakheim family for graciously sponsoring all the shiurim on Sefer Vayikra, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov. We're very grateful for their partnership, and we thank them for their sponsorship of all the shiurim. Also, the shiurim were sponsored anonymously, Le'iloi Nishmas, Harav Mordechai Leib ben Rav Yosef Menachem, Sashal Meshav Naliyah, B'gan Eden Teim Nuchasai. Tonight, we have a number of sponsors for tonight's shiur. Firstly, tonight is sponsored by my good friend, Rabbi Lavian of Queens, Le'iloi Nishmas, his friend, Rabbi Ariel Tzadik, who was nifter in the Lag BaOmer tragedy in Meiron. So there's a Shem Shem Aliyah, and he should be Me'el Tzioshah for all of Klal Yisrael. Tonight's shiur is also sponsored by Rabbi Yaakov Mizrahi of Eretz Yisrael in honor of Dina Bas Rachel. Also sponsored by Usher Abi Chasera for Shalema for Eva Aviva Bas Ilana Esther. Refuah Shalema B'Sar Shachal Yisrael. Also sponsored by my dear friend Rav Moshe Stream in honor of his Bar Mitzvah Parsha and his birthday. He should have many happy and healthy years. Gesund Ad Bias Gal Tzedak. Also sponsored by my good friend Rabbi Ephraim Bernstein, who made a chasana this week, and the chasana kala should be the zivug should be Oyla Yofet, Dar Hashem Varachem, and Refuah Shleima for Rachel Bas Miriam Mindor, Refuah Shleima B'Sar Shachal Yisrael. Okay, here we go. Parshas Behar B'Chu Kaisai. Also, we have very good news that Bezos Hashem imminently the upcoming Art Scroll Sefer on Tisha B'Av, the Bein HaMetzarim and Holocaust Memorial is going to print Bezos Hashem currently. And last call, if anybody would like to participate, please let us know if anybody would want a dedication. Parshas Behar B'Chu Kaisai is what we call a very incongruous shidduch, a very unusual match. Because Parshas Behar speaks about the mitzvah of Shemitah and the sabbatical year, which, by the way, then it talks about not cheating somebody on prices. For example, Azriel, you want to buy this banana for $10,000. It's a very expensive banana. It looks yellow, it's really gold. You can't do that, Azriel, right? You can't do that. You can't cheat somebody on prices. And then it talks about...
It's not a joke.
I know the banana with the tape, the masking tape. That's what I mean. I'll give you some duct tape.
$10,000.
There you go. See? Everything's in the Torah. What? Okay. Anyway. And then it talks about selling avodim, and it talks about selling land and redeeming land. And then Parshas B'Chu Kaisai talks about the Toichacha. And the Toichacha is retribution, Rashi says, in perhaps the most famous Rashi in all of Chumash. Im B'Chu Kaisai Teilechu. You want to have a good life? B'Chu Kaisai Teilechu. So simply, B'Chu Kaisai Teilechu means to follow the mitzvahs. Rashi says, B'Chu Kaisai Teilechu cannot mean to follow the mitzvahs, because the next words are, V'yes mitzvahs Tishmeru. So what does the B'Chu Kaisai Teilechu mean? It says, Rashi, Shetiu Amelim B'Torah. That you should toil in Torah. By the way, the Balaturim says the words in B'Chu Kaisai Teilechu are gematria, that you should be Amel in Torah. Not just Rashi says that's what it means, it's also the gematria of those words. So that means, if you want to have a good life, you have to toil in Torah. It's not enough just to learn. Okay, I have to learn now. Okay, I'm going to sit back on a hammock, or I'm going to buy one of those rocking egg chairs that everybody has to have, and I'm going to sip lemonade and have somebody fan me. It's very nice you're learning, but that's not Amelus B'Torah. And in fact, Rashi learns, V'yim loy sishma'uli, that what precipitates the Toichacha? Not listening to me, meaning not being Amel B'Torah. That means Parshas B'Chu Kaisai is a good parasha before Shavuos, Because it's basically saying the key to everything is Amelus B'Toyra. But what does Bahar got to do with B'chukaisai? Bahar are the laws of Shemitah. B'chukaisai are the punishments for not being Amel B'Toyra. And the two parashiyos have nothing to do with each other. It's a very strange combination. Vayakel Pekudei, I understand. It's both about the Mishkan. Achrimos Kedoshim, I understand. It's all about Arayos. Some of the other Tazria Metzoyra, it's a good zivug. But Bahar B'chukaisai, it's like the odd couple. What's going on over here? You know, what kind of shidduch is Bahar B'chukaisai? So you'll say, well, if you look throughout the Teichacha, it does seem to say that the punishments of the Teichacha, by the way, how many punishments in the Teichacha Parshas B'chukaisai? 49, corresponding to the 49 days of Sfira, as if we need to overcome these 49 curses in order to get to the Yom HaChamishim. And by the way, Mayav is Gematria 49, so Mayav inherently is the Klolos of the Teichacha, and that's for a different time. But throughout the Psukim of the Teichacha, it says, for example, look at number one, Az Tirtzeh HaRetz HaShabbos Oiseh HaKoil Yimei HaShama V'yatem Be'eretz Oyeveichem. Says, then the land will be appeased for its sabbatical years, all of its days of desolation. Meaning, it's saying that what are the reason for these punishments, these boils, and being chased and hounded and assaulted by the enemy for failure to keep Shemitah. So now it's beautiful, Bahar B'chukaisai. B'chukaisai is a punishment for failure to keep the Shemitah. Bahar are the laws of Shemitah, and B'chukaisai are the punishment for not keeping Shemitah. Or further on, the Pasuk says, number three, V'ha'aretz te'azev mehem v'siretz ha'shab. So he said, the land will be forsaken of the Jewish people, and they will be appeased by her sabbatical years. So this is actually very important, because that explains, if the Teichacha is punishment for not observing the Shemitah, now Bahar B'chukaisai fit together like a glove. Bahar are the laws of Shemitah, and B'chukaisai are the repercussions of not observing the Shemitah. However, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and tonight's shiur comes primarily from two different svarim of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emes Liakov of on Chumash, and the Emes Liakov on Kesuvim, which is newer, as well as the Emes Liakov on Shas. So we're going to be plucking out from all these svarim. And he asked the following question. The psukim contradict Rashi. Rashi says the reason for the Teichacha is that we're not Omel B'Torah. And the Pesukim say it's for failure to keep Shemitah. By the way, this week's Pirkei Avos, it says that for failure to observe the Shemitah, then you're exiled from the land. That's what the Pesukim say. But Rashi says it's all about, in other words, if you learn, but you learn, you know, like it would be the comics, the New York Times Sunday comics, so that ain't going to cut it. In other words, it's saying that you have to be Amel B'Torah, but that's not what the Pesukim say. The Pesukim say the reason for the Teichacha is failure to observe Shemitah. Furthermore, Rabbi Yaakov asks a very strong question. Rashi famously says in B'chukaisai, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Lamed Hei, and this is also pointed out by Rashi in Divrei Hayamim, who, by the way, is not Rashi. There are a number of places where we have Rashi that is not Rashi, for example, Divrei Hayamim, and Pirkei Avos, and Sechta Nazir, all of these supposed commentaries that say Rashi are not Rashi. And what? Oh, it's not the right one. A second. Here. So Rashi makes the following calculation. The Pasuk says that the Teichacha is a punishment for failure to observe the Shemitah. Rashi says, why were we exiled in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni 70 years? By the way, in this week's parasha, there are many, many remazim to the standing of the various Batei Mikdashim. For example, in Parshas Bahar, Ukarasem Derar. Derar is Gematria 410. And then the Pasuk says, Yoivel Tihiyah is Gematria 420. So a lot of Ramazim to the various standings of the Beis HaMikdash. Another one, Baal Turim says, in B'chukaisai v'nasati mishkani v'soichichem. Mishkani is gematria 420, a remez to the second Beis HaMikdash. But we know in between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, there were 70 years. Why 70 years, says Rashi, for failure to observe 70 Shemitahs. How do you get 70? Well, says Rashi, 390 years we were in Israel before the 10 tribes were exiled. That's 390 years. Then Shevet Yehuda failed to observe Shemitah for another 40 years. That's 430 years. And then another 6 years of the reign of Tzidkiyahu, so we failed to observe Shemitah over the course of 436 years.
The entire time we didn't keep it even once?
Not even once. Now let's make a cheshbon. How many Shemitahs are in 436 years? So yeah, come on, you know, it's too late at night to figure that one out. But it's very easy. It's very easy, because how many Shemitahs are in 50 years? 7. And how many Shemitahs are in 100 years? 14. Okay, fine. Plus 2 Yovels. So for 100 years, it's 16 Shemitah Yovels. So 400 years is 64 Shemitah Yovels. Daniel's living this up. He likes it, right? So 64 Shemitah Yovels in 400 years. In 35 years is another 5 Shemitahs. So that's 69. 436 years is still 69. So there's 69 Shemitah Yovels in 436 years. However, the 436th year, which is the first year of the next cycle, they began a cycle without the intention of observing the Shemitah. And they were nailed for that as well. So you'll ask, what do you mean, why were they nailed? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzaref machshava l'maisa. Yes, he is, for repeated offenders. For repeated offenders, God is mitzaref. So they failed to observe 70 Shemitahs, and therefore they were punished with 70 years of exile, as the Mishnah says in this week's Avos, that Avoin Shemitah Yisrael Nigalu, Goylin. Fine. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has one simple question, and that is, it is absolutely impossible to say that the Jewish people did not observe Shemitah for 70 times. I mean, that's absurd. You can't say that. That we're talking about times the temple stood, before the temple stood. They were on a higher madriga than we are. So they didn't observe one of the basic laws of the Torah. They didn't observe the Shemitah. That is impossible. By the way, Rashi and Divrei Hayomim, Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, on the Pasuk, L'maloi Sdvar Hashem B'fi Yirmiyoh, Ad Ratzasa Aretz HaShab Soiseha, L'maloi Shevim Shana, Rashi, the parish that's Miuchas Rashi, brings that we were punished with 70 years of exile, corresponding to the 70 Shemitahs that we did not observe. And again, Rav Yaakov says, v'zeh davar she'enoi mistaber. Fine. So comes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he offers the following amazing thesis. You ready, Israel, for this tremendous thesis of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? Here we go. Says Rav Yaakov, and this will explain the incongruous combination of Bahar and Bechukaisai. Bahar begins with the laws of Shemitah. After talking about the laws of Shemitah, it talks about ripping your friend off. Because if you sell him a house for $1 million, and Shemitah's tomorrow, what do you do to the guy? You ripped him off. If you sell the guy a very expensive house for a little bit of money, and Shemitah's not for a while, you got the raw end of the deal. So after Shemitah talks about the laws of Oina, followed by selling Avodim, followed by Karka. These are all the relevant to Shemitah and Yovel. Now, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and what is the purpose of Shemitah? And now we come to the great thesis of Rabbi Yaakov. Because Rabbi Yaakov says, what was the main occupation in the times of the original inhabitants of the land of Israel? What did they do? Nowadays, what do the Jews do? Today, they're dentists, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they sell cars, they sell real estate, they buy nursing homes. You didn't have many different geschäft. Back in the day, there were no, Everybody worked the land. It was an agrarian culture, agrarian society, an agricultural society. People were working the land. That was the main occupation. Now, that's a very admirable job in the land of Israel. Because working the land in Israel is a mitzvah, the oraisa of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Many, you say, Unzere Haimish Yidin, you hear, oh, they planted a tree in Israel. Oh, it's a big deal. It's a Dabar Choshev Ma'id. Why? That's mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Who says that? Chassam Sofer. I believe he was an Orthodox rabbi, and he writes that working, tilling the soil in the land of Israel is a mitzvah, the iraisa of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, regardless if there's a Beis HaMikdash or there's no Beis HaMikdash. In fact, ask the Chassam Sofer. You know, in the story of Rus, who's the Gadol Hadar? Boaz. What's he doing all day? He's giving shir and Shev Shmaitza. He's saying Chakira, the Ktsois and the Nesivis. Boaz, the entire Megillah, he's busy in the field, in the threshing floor. What's he doing there the whole time? I thought he's a Gadol Hadar. Why is he busy in the threshing floor? The answer is, he's being Mekayim the Mitzvah Dairais of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Asach Sam Sofer. Could somebody say, I'm not going to wear tefillin because I'm busy in the Beis Medrash? You can't potter yourself from tefillin because you want to learn. You can't potter yourself from sukkah because you want to learn. You can't potter yourself from working the land of Israel because you want to learn. Working the land is a Chiyuv Dairaisa, and it supersedes other mitzvahs. And then the Chassam Sofer says an amazing chiddush. You know, we have a machloikis. What's the best course of action in life? Learner-earner? Right? You know, you go to work most of the day and you're kaveh itim in the morning and the night, or spend all your time learning and figure out how you're going to pay the bills. What's a better course of action? So we know the Rajbi holds. What does Rajbi hold? You learn! What's going to be with your money? He says, I don't know, but what's going to be with Olam Haba? Manichin Chaye Olam Verotzim Achar Chaye Shah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, there's no alternative. You got to spend all your time learning. But Rabbi Yossi says, no. Mitzvah. V'yosafta, Rabbi Shmuel says, V'yosafta digonecha mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel says, you got to go to work. And the Gemara doesn't give a psak, but the Gemara just says many people have tried the Rajbi system and it didn't work. And many people have tried Rabbi Shmuel's system and it worked. Now that's not a psak. The Gemara is not saying, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not saying you should go to work. The Gemara is saying usually going to work is a successful brand of observant Judaism, and the alternative might be better, but it doesn't always work. That's the Gemara says. By the way, the Briska Rav writes, this is a psak halacha. Okay, it's beyond the scope of today's shir, of the applicability of these guidelines for today's times, but that's what the Briska Rav says. So the Chassam Sofer has a chiddush nifla.
What does the Briska Rav say?
That it's a psak halacha.
That what?
That v'asafta diganecha mitzvah. To go.
You have to work.
You gotta work.
The Briska Rav.
Yep. He was also an Orthodox rabbi. Mm-hmm. And he... Okay, so the Chassam Sofer has a chiddush nifla. The Chassam Sofer says, Rabbi Shmuel only says you have to go to work in the land of Israel. Because in the land of Israel, when you're a farmer and you're plowing the land, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and you're planting, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. And even if you are buy nursing homes, you're improving the economy of Israel. And even if you sell cars, you're improving the civilization of the land of Israel. It's all Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Shmuel only said his opinion in the land of Israel. But in America, or anywhere else in the world, Rabbi Shmuel is moedev to the Rajbi. Why in the world would you spend your time advancing a society that supports left-wing ideals, liberal ideals? What are you doing? Why would you advance such a society? And therefore, everyone agrees to the Rajbi that why waste your time outside of the land of Israel? But again, all I'm bringing out is the primary occupation of Jewish people back in the day. They were farmers. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this would explain the unusual phenomenon that we find in the Gemara Megillah and Daf Chav Tes and Beza in Eretz Yisrael. They had a different laning cycle. I always think that this would be a very successful way to get people to be Maver Sedra. Most people who have a difficult time being Maver Sedra is because it's too long. But imagine if we told them, you know what, just do till Shlishi. I bet more people would do it. You know, that's my guess. And Eretz Yisrael, They finish the Torah, not every year, once every 3 years. Why do they do that? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says the following great principle. And that is, why do we learn the Torah in Shul on Shabbos? So, unfortunately, most people think it is a Jewish ritual. It's a relic of the past. It's a dinosaur. And therefore, if I am able to sneak out and spend that time ingesting salty sliced fish and alcoholic beverage, that is certainly a preferable way for me to spend my time than to sit in the room where one guy is reading some old scroll. I mean, I like to learn. I like to learn Gemara. I like to learn Chumash. But why am I listening to... No, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Kriyas HaTorah is not a Jewish ritual. Kriyas HaTorah is the Ikur Limud HaTorah of the week for every single Jew. That's why if somebody walks out during Kriyas HaTorah, Va'oizve Hashem Yichlu, it is the only sin that the Torah itself gives a klala to and calls the person someone who forsakes the Almighty. Betray if you're not called someone who forsakes the Almighty. If somebody, I don't know, kills someone, he's not called forsaking the Almighty. He did a rotten thing. But if you walk out when the Torah is being read, you're forsaking God. By the way, God is the one who created the world in 6 days. He gives you life. When you walk out on the Torah, that is the main Limud HaTorah of the week, Berabim. What? Also, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is also Orthodox rabbi. Even though, this is what he's saying. The Creator? No, he's just God, right? So,
was there Kriyas HaTorah in the times of Beis HaMikdash?
Of course. Moshe Tiken Lahem LeYisrael. There's also Takanas Ezra. The question is, what did Moshe Masakin? What did Ezra Masakin? But, by the way, the way that they used to listen to the Torah was with such an open heart and such an emotion. That is why we often find throughout the Gemara, when evil kings would hear the Torah, they would shake, because they understood that when the Torah is being read, this is the Kriyas HaTorah for the week. That is why when the Torah is read, you follow every single word and you try to think, what is being communicated? What is the meaning of each word? It's good to have a chumash on the side. They give you like synopsis, okay? These five psukim are talking about this subject. This so you're holding with what's being read. Kriyas HaTorah is the main learning of the week. That's what you review during the week. That's what we reviewed after the week. Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah Barabim. Now, Marv Raboisai. Now, says Rabbi Yaakov, we understand why in the land of Israel they learned the Torah once every 3 years. You know why? Because they didn't have time. What were they doing? They're being mekayim in the midst of Dairaisa of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The same way Boaz was busy in the field, even though he could have been learning, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were busy spending the majority of their time working. They didn't have time to read the entire Bahar B'chukaisai in 1 week. They didn't have time to read the whole Parshas Nasai in 1 week. They had to break it down into bite-sized pieces. That's the reason for the cycle. Now, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, now we understand the reason for Shemitah. Because the Bnei Eretz Yisrael did not have time to read the whole Parsha every week, but once every 7 years, when they didn't have to work the land, they would be able to dedicate themselves the entire year. This year, we're not just going to read till Shlishi, we're going to spend the whole year reading every single Parsha from beginning to end. And in that 1 year, all the farmers became Koilel Yungalite. They dedicated that entire year for Limud HaTorah. The rest of the years of the six-year cycle, they didn't have time to do that. They didn't have the luxury to do that. They had to basically limit the amount of time they dedicated to Limud HaTorah. They didn't have time. But what were they doing? They were being mekayim, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, when the work a person does is not as admirable and noble, so they needed to dedicate much more time to learning, and they learned the entire parsha every single year. Oh, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, now we understand. And when the Shemitah year was over, and they had dedicated the entire year for Limud HaTorah, they needed a quick, so to speak, review and injection of Kedusha to go back to regular life in the land of Israel. So they had the mitzvah of Hakel on the night of Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash. They learned Mishnah Torah. That was a quick review of everything they learned that year. And then they would go back into their agrarian society. Now you should know that this is not unanimously agreed upon. As we're going to see, the simple way of understanding the Gemara, then Eretz Yisrael, they read the Torah every 3 years. It means every 3.5 years. And in 7 years, they read it twice. So they started in the beginning of Bereishis. 3.5 years later, they finished the first cycle. And then they would read it another cycle, 3.5 years. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says nothing of the sort. It wasn't 3.5, 3.5. It was 3, 3, 1.
There's no Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but you know, to be able to be Maver Sedra properly, you can't just hear the Torah. You got to be prepared. You don't even know what you're hearing. You know, you need to have read it twice during the week, worked on it, spent time understanding it, read the Targum, and then Shabbos, you could hear it. Shabbos is just a review. But in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have the luxury of doing that. By the way, in the footnotes on the Emes Yaakov, he says, now we understand why Chazal put together Vayakel Pekudei, which are monster parshios, and parshios Yisrael and Mishpatim, which are much shorter, they separate. Why? Because Vayakel Pekudei is a review of Chumat Tetzaveh, so it was easier for the Bnei Chutzal Aretz to, so to speak, be maver that sedra, than to have to do Yisroi Mishpatim in 1 week, which has so many halachos. Now, Rabbi Yaakov continues to explain that the cycle of Limud HaTorah is dependent on the Trumois and Maisroi cycle. We know that the Maisroi cycle was a three-year cycle. Maisroi Rishon, Maisroi Sheni. Maisroi Rishon, Maisroi Sheni. Maisroi Rishon, Maisroi Ani. That's a three-year cycle. And commensurate with that was the reading of the Torah. So the three-year Maaser cycle, the three-year Torah cycle. That would repeat in years 4 through 6. In fact, in Bava Metzia on Daf Peches, it says that the stores of Beis Hino were exiled 3 years before Yerushalayim because they didn't give Maaser properly. So why 3 years? So the Ein Yaakov explains, because the Maaser cycle is 3 years, so they were exiled 3 years before the rest of Jerusalem. But comes the Shemitah year, when they're not being bogged down by Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, then they could read the entire Parsha in 1 year, and that's in fact what the Bnei Eretz Yisrael did. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, this would explain a very difficult Toysus in Megillah, Lamed Aleph. By the way, the Meshech Chachma says the same thing. You ready? We once spoke this out from the Meshech Chachma. Rabbi Yaakov says the same chiddush, a very klar chiddush. Who remembers, based on the Gemara Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, what is the haftorah of Shemini Atzeres, of Simchas Torah? Anybody remember the haftorah of Simchas Torah? Very good, Azriel. By the way, this is Azriel Goldman, the brother of Rav Daniel Goldman. Okay. The Haftarah that we read is, I didn't say the brother of which Daniel Goldman, so we'll leave it at that. But the Haftarah of Simchas Torah that we read is from the Navi Yehoshua, Vahi Achrei Mois Moshe, Eved Hashem, which is a perfect Haftarah. We just finished reading the Chumash, we go straight into the Nevi'im. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, we read, Vayamoid Shloimo, Shloimo got up and he blessed the people. So Tosfos asks, what's going on? Why don't we do what the Gemara says? So Tosfos says, I don't know. It's wrong. What we do is wrong, Tosfos says. And he says, some people say Rav Haigoin was Masakin by Achrei Mois Moshe, but I don't know how he was able to change from what Shas legislates. So ask Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, number one, how did Rav Haigoin change from what the Gemara says? And number two, could someone please tell me once and for all, this ancient minhag of reading the Torah every 3 years, who ever abolished that? Imagine like this. You know how like in the yeshivas they say only part of slichos? You think it's going to happen one day that from now on we're going to say all the slichos. That's going to happen? That's not going to happen. Imagine in the yeshiva where they do Let's say a shul where they do slichas erev Rosh Hashanah 1 hour, right? They say half the slichas. No, clap on the bima. From now we're gonna say it ain't ever reverting back. You know, a shul that doesn't say bahab is not gonna one day say, okay, we're saying bahab now. These things don't come back, right? So who exactly, after they were reading the Torah once every 3 years, said, no, from now on, Kriyas HaTorah is going to take 3.5 times longer? Who did that exactly? What? No. In Eretz Yisrael, they always did 3.5 years. So what happened to that custom? I know, but that means the Kriyas HaTorah is taking 3 times as long. Who would ever change that the original custom?
No, now they do it every year.
I know, but
they
now...
stop doing it 3 years long.
No, you're not... Explain the question.
What's the question?
Kriyas HaTorah used to take 15 minutes. Right. Who made it take 45 minutes, please? Which rabbi got up there and says, Rabbi, just want everyone to know, from now on, Kriyas HaTorah is going to take 3 times as long. How did that ever fly?
Because there's no Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
In Chutz Lars, it was always that way. Well, what exactly happened in Eretz Yisrael? How did it...
Technology.
Today in Israel, they do that? Nobody does 3.5 years. What happened to me? So Yaakov says like this. Back in the day, how long would it take them to finish the Torah? 3 years. How often was Simchas Torah when they actually finished the Torah? Once every 3 years, Simchas Torah was the day they finished the Torah. Every other year, Simchas Torah was Mendrin in the middle of the laning. So in year one, they can't read the Nevi'im. They didn't finish the Torah. In year two, they can't read the Nevi'im. So they read an appropriate Haftarah for Simchas Torah, namely, Shlomo got up and he benched the people. They read that year one, they read that year two, and they're not going to switch it for year three. And even in a Shemitah year where they're reading it the whole year, they're not going to make a special Haftarah for the Shemitah year. But the whole concept of reading the Torah once every 3 years is only when Shumas and Maisroi supplied and they were busy working the land, so they had a 3-year Meisr cycle, so they had a 3-year laning cycle. But with the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Chumas HaMeisros became batel, and people and the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael was no longer relevant because people weren't working the land anymore. And even if they lived there, they didn't own the land or they were hounded. So there's no Chumas HaMeisros. So the cycle went back to the way it is during Shemitah, because during Shemitah, it was always a 1-year cycle. So every year now went back to 1-year cycle. Once it went back to 1-year cycle, Rav Haigoin said, on Shuldukmir, it really, during Shemitah, we should have leaned about Yehoshua. The only thing was, that was only once every 7 years. But now that every single year, Simchas Torah is the time they finish the Torah, we should read an appropriate Haftorah, namely, Vayihi Achrei Mois Moshe. So if you wanted to know, how did the Haftorahs change? Nobody really changed it. It was sort of, it was the obvious choice based on the circumstances. Marv Rabbeisai, this will answer. By the way, on the bottom, we have footnotes of the Emes Yaakov. We have footnotes by the Mechaber. Who is the Mechaber of Emes Yaakov? Rabbi Yaakov's son, Rabbi Avram Kamenetsky. So they say, you know, the Emes Yaakov, and the notes are Chesed Li Avram. But
he's heard to swallow is only when there's a Beis HaMikdash.
No, not really. No, so it's a little, yeah, you still have a good point. In other words, it's still today a mitzvah to work the land. So, and there's no Meiser really, but there is, okay. Rav Yaakov Emden has a Gevaldik Akasha. This is the Kasha of the Maritz Chiyos. The Gemara says Ezra was Mesakin that Klal Yisrael must read the Klalois, the Toichacha of the Chukoisai before Shavuos, and the Toichacha of Kisavai before the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? And we do that. This week we lay in the Chukoisai, and we lay in Kisavai 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Asks the Yaivitz and asks the Maritz Chiyos, very nice, but how is that ever fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael where they read the Torah once every 3 years? B'chuk Kaisa wasn't before Shavuos, only once every 3 years it was before Shavuos, if ever. So this Takana of Ezra, how is it fulfilled in Israel?
They read what the week was.
Okay, right, that's one possibility. It means in addition to whatever the regular reading was, they also read the Klalis of the Toichacha. I presume people would be okay with that, since the laning anyway took a half hour shorter, so if they had to stick in an extra Toichacha, they went for that. But the the Hagois and the Emes Yaakov said they fulfilled the Takana of Ezra in the Shemitah year when it was the 1 year cycle.
Did they land on Mondays and Thursdays?
Yes. What did they land? By the way, I once pointed out, Reuven Margolius suggests that there is an ancient custom to lane a haftorah by Shabbos, by Mincha, from the Ksuvim. So actually, throughout the 3 years, they finished the whole Tanakh. So they... What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they laned the Eoiv, they laned Divrei Hayyam, you know, they had... Okay. Says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, this might explain another interesting phenomenon. We know, how many parshios are there in the Chumash? You know? Very good. Azriel says 54. But, and there are. However, the Zohar says Gan parshios, 53 parshios. So it's Akasha. What do you mean, but they're 54? So one answer is V'zois HaBracha doesn't count because you don't lean it on Shabbos. There are various answers how you account for the 54 parshios. However, as of Yaakov Kamenetsky, could somebody tell me, back in the day in Eretz Yisrael when they lane the parshios in 3 years, how do they lane Nitzavim Vayelech over the course of 3 weeks? There are not enough psukim to go around for 21 aliyos of these tiny little parshios. So Yaakov says that if you look in the back of some chumashim, it gives you the number of parshios. Either 167 parshios or 152 parshios. Because there are parshios psuchos and parshios stumos and parshios sedurois. According to that, in the course of 3 years, if you divide up the leaning into these 162 parshios, it comes out every week you lean a certain section of the Torah with enough aliyos to go around. But as we pointed out, Marv Raboisai, not everybody agrees with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, namely the Yam Shel Shleimai. Now it's hard to imagine that Rabbi Yaakov would argue on the Yam Shel Shleimai, but the Yam Shel Shleimai writes, clearly he says in the land of Israel, the cycle was 3.5 years. Not 3, 3, 1, it was a 3.5 year cycle. Furthermore, in Masechta Soifrim, it says, how many parshios are in the Torah? Corresponding to the number of years of the life of Avraham Avinu, 175 parshios. The Nachlas Yaakov explains, 175 parshios? Yeah, because the 3.5 year cycle. 50, 50, 50, 25. That's not like Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that it's a 3 year cycle. 175 parshios is in support of what the Yam Shel Shleimai holds, that there were that there was a 3.5 year cycle. By the way, there's an amazing chida that my friend Rabbi Ari Sendik once showed me, and the chida says in the Sefer Choymas Anach, he says, "What's the inyan of Shemitah? The inyan of Shemitah is to learn." By the way, let's, before we get to Rabbi Ari Sendik and the chida, this answers the questions we started with. We asked, how could it be that the Jewish people did not observe Shemitah for 70 years? Is it possible? They plowed, they planted, they pruned. How could it be the Jewish people, observant Jews, Orthodox Jews, they didn't observe the Shemitah? The answer is, of course they didn't work the land. Of course they didn't till the soil. But they did not use the Shemitah for its intended purpose, namely, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. Because it's not enough. The same way, Rabbi, so we say about Shabbos. There are two aspects of Shabbos. There are two elements of Shabbos. Shabbos, we don't do malacha, but not just not to do malacha. We don't do malacha to free up our time to be able to learn. It's the same thing regarding Shemitah. By the way, this fits very well into the Oznayim L'Torah of Zalman Sorotskin. He says, Chazal tell us, Uvayoyim Hashvi Tishvois, you should, on the seventh day, you should rest. It says in Bahar, the Mechilta says, Afilu b'shvias. Even during Shemitah, you have to keep Shabbos. Why would I think you don't have to keep Shabbos and Shemitah? Very simple. The reason to keep Shabbos is to have time to learn. But in the Shemitah year, you have the whole year to learn. Maybe you don't have to keep Shabbos. So we have a special Gzeres HaKosov, Uvayoyim HaShvi'i Tishbois. Comes the Chida, and the Chida says, what's the inyan of Shemitah? Chazal say that Rava said to his Talmidim, do me a favor, don't show up during the month of Nisan, don't show up during the month of Tishrei, which means that he told his Talmidim, during Nisan and Tishrei they have to go home and work and prepare for Yom Tov. So there were 2 months a year that nobody was learning, so to make up for the 12 months in 6 years that people weren't learning, we had an entire year dedicated to Limud HaTorah during the Shemitah year. That also supports this idea that the objective of Shemitah is Shetiyu Amela Matarah. And this explains the stira between the Psukim and Rashi. The Psukim say the reason for the Toichacha is failure to observe Shemitah, but Rashi says it's because we were not Amel BaTorah, so make up your mind. What was it? Was it because we didn't observe Shemitah, or was it because we weren't Amel BaTorah? The answer is, it's the same thing. Failure to observe Shemitah is defined as not using the available time for Limud HaTorah. Well, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this would answer something else as well.
Is that what Shemitah
means? Yes. Shemitah is to let the land stay fallow, but the objective of that is because since working the land was so
important.
Oh, does it stand for that? No. It doesn't. No, it's with the Shemitah of the test. Yeah. Okay. Comes, look in number 30. Vayitzav Moshe Oysam Lemar, Miket Sheva Shonim, Bimayet, Shinas HaShemitah B'chaga Sukkos. At the Miket of 7 years, on Yom Tov of Shemitah, on Chag HaSukkos. Now, what does it mean, Miked Shava Shanim V'moyed Shas HaShemitah B'chag HaSukkos? Raise your hand if you know what the following word means. Miked. What does Miked mean? What? What does Miked mean? The end. Miked means the end. Why would, at the end of 7 years, during Yom Tov of Shemitah on Sukkos, is Sukkos at the end of the year? Sukkos is not at the end of the year. Sukkos is at the beginning of the year. So the Ibn Ezra says, Miked Shava Shanim refers to the beginning of the year. Comes Ramban, and the Ramban says, Miked Shava Shanim refers to the mitzvah of Hakel, and Miked means the end. Whenever it says Ketz, it means the end, like Ketz Kol Basar. What it means is, the end of the 7 years, Miked Shava Shanim means not. Not in the Shemitah year, when the Shemitah year is over, when the 7 years are over, meaning, which is the 8th year of Chol HaMoed Sukkos. But when the Torah says about Shemitah, Miketz Shava Shanim Tasa Shemitah, there it means at the end of the 7 years, in the 7 years. So regarding Hakel, it says Miketz Shava Shanim, it means in the beginning of the 8th year. Bishnas HaMoed B'moyed Shnas HaShemitah. Miketz Shava Shanim. There it means in the beginning of the year. I'm sorry, the Ramban learns. Miketz Shava Shanim. At the end of 7 years, it means when the 7 years are over. However, when the Torah says about Shemitah, Miketz Shava Shanim Tasa Shemitah, it means the end of 7 years in the 7th year. So Miketz, according to the Ramban, always means at the end. When it comes to Shemitah canceling debt, it means the end of the year. And the Ramban is the opinion, based on Chazal, Shemitah is meshamed at the end of the year. Miket Sheva Shanim Tasa Shemitah means at the end of the 7 years. However, by the mitzvah of Hakel, Miket Sheva Shanim also means at the end of 7 years, but when the 7 years are actually over. Miket, according to Ramban, always means when it's over. Here it means, in other words, Miketz means in the end. Regarding Hakel, it's the end when it's done. Regarding canceling debt, it's the end during the year. And the Ramban is of the opinion, Shemitah cancels at the end of the year. However, the Ibn Ezra says that Miketz Sheva Shanim B'moed Shnas HaShemitah, Hakel is the beginning of the year. Because Shemitah is in the beginning, Shabbos Bereishis, and Sukkot is the beginning of the year. And what does Miketz mean? Miketz means the beginning. How could Miketz mean the beginning? Because an item has two ends, the end and the beginning end. So the Ben Ezra learns Hakel is at the very beginning of the year, and other because it says Vishnas HaShemitah. So it can't mean after it's over like the Ramban, because the Ramban learns it's not the Shemitah year. But how is the Ramban going to answer the Ibn Ezra's Kasha? If Miketz means at the end, when the Shemitah is over, then how could it call it Shnas HaShemitah? Then it's not, in other words, how could it be the end and the Shemitah year? It's not the Shemitah year if it's after the seventh year is over. So Yaakov Kamenetsky says that it is the end of the seventh year. Because besides having a year, you also have a Yom Tov cycle. The Yom Tov cycle begins with Pesach, goes to Shavuos, and then it goes to Sukkot. So even though Sukkot is when the year is over, but Sukkot belongs to the Yom Tov cycle of the previous year. Even to violate Baal Ta'achar, you only violate Baal Ta'achar when Pesach comes, Shavuos comes, and Sukkot comes. So when Sukkot is over, even though it's the eighth year, but it's part of the seven-year Shemitah cycle. Says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, let's think for a moment of the purpose of Hakel and of its proper placement at the end of Shemitah. What we're learning, Rabbi Yisai, is that the tachlis of Shemitah is that for the farmers of Eretz Yisrael, they dedicated their lives to advancing the society and the agriculture of the land of Israel, and they didn't have as much time to learn, and therefore they had to have a three-year cycle. But once every 7 years, they were totally committed to Liman HaTorah. Now, when is Shemitah over? Erev Rosh Hashanah. So when are they going to go back to work? Rosh Hashanah? Aseres Yimei Tshuva? Everybody knows what Rabbeinu Yonah writes about the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, a person's mind should be locked, thinking about the judgment and the pending verdict, and how could a person bring themselves to work the land, Rabbeinu Yonah says, and to be involved in the affairs of this world. Mm-hmm. A person recognizes what kind of judicial process is going up in Shemayim. Nobody would go to work. Everybody would treat it like days of Cholamoid. So back in the day, nobody was going back to work on Tzim Gedalia or right before Yom Kippur. Then, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, they also didn't start working. So right before they went back to work, they, so to speak, had to get one last injection of Limud HaTorah, Chazaras HaTorah, Amilus B'Torah, which they got by going to the Mikdash. And the Melech, B'Chvoidoi U'V'Atzmai, he would read from the Sefer Torah, Mishnah Torah, the Chazar of everything they learned in the year, so to speak, to inject them one last time before they began the three-year cycle once more. This is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's great thesis about the mitzvah of Shemitah. This explains what Chazal mean, that for 70 times Klal Yisrael did not observe the Shemitah. Certainly they didn't work the land, but what was lacking was in their Imchukaisai Telechu Shatiu Amelim Batara. And that's why the Toichacha, in fact, is absolutely correct. When Klal Yisrael is punished, the land will be assaged and reconciled for its lack of observance of Shemitah. What do you mean? But Rashi says because they were not Amel Batara. Not observing Shemitah means not using the time, Shatiyu Amelem B'Torah. And this explains the incongruous pair of Bahar B'Chukoisai. Bahar are the laws of Shemitah, and B'Chukoisai tells us that if we don't use Shemitah for its intended purpose, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these 49 klalos. But during these 49 days of Sfira, as we work on Amelus B'Torah, we transform the 49 klalos into brachos for Klal Yisrael, as the Zohar tells us that most of the bracha and nechama that is found in the Torah could be detected in the words of the klalos. So even though at face value it seems that these are 49 klalos, nevertheless beneath the surface are great brachos for Klal Yisrael. May we be zoicha to v'nasati kishmeichem be'itam, and all the brachos that are reserved for the loim de Torah, oyach yomim b'mina, usmaila oyishar v'chavayim. Okay, Bez Hashem, next week we have a whopper of a shir before Shavuos. It's going to start a little bit later, but it's worthwhile if you could please come around 9:30 next week. You'll get the message. And bracha v'hatzlach, everyone. Kol tov. Have a good night.
Why does it have to have a touch with the voice?
What?
You've just just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.